Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to C&A's conference call to announce the results of quarter three, 2021. Today, we have with us Mr. Paulo Correa, CEO of C&A, Mr. Milton Lucato, CFO, Fernando Brossi, representing the C&A Pay team and Investor Relations team. We must inform you that this meeting is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. Right after, we will open for questions, and at that time, further instructions will be given. Should any of you need assistance during the conference call, please press star zero to reach the operator. We would like to inform that this conference call is also being simultaneously translated into English for the convenience of C&A's foreign investors. The meeting is also being simultaneously broadcast over the internet via webcast and may be accessed at ri.cea.com.br, where the slide presentation is also available. Please feel free to flip through the slides during the company's presentation. The replay will be available right after this call. Before proceeding, we would like to inform that any forward-looking statements that may be made during this conference call relative to C&A's business perspectives, projections, operating and financial targets are based on beliefs and assumptions of the company's management, as well as on information currently available to C&A. These forward-looking statements are not a guarantee of future performance since they involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, and they refer to future events. Therefore, they depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that general conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect future results of C&A and may lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Paulo Correa, CEO of C&A, to start his presentation. Mr. Correa, you may proceed.
Good morning. Thank you for being here with us today for the presentation of the quarter three 2021 results. I would like to start on slide number two. Here we have some of the highlights of quarter three. First, we have some good news. We are seeing increased mobility. Our operation this quarter was practically normal in terms of the store hours, and we are seeing more people in our stores, although the traffic has not yet gone back to the pre-pandemic levels. We believe that with the fast vaccination rates, the population will start resuming some of their routines, including visits to shopping malls. With this, our total sales are growing compared with 2019, with two-digit increases in apparel, as you're going to hear from Milton. Despite the reopening of our stores, we're still seeing a very good performance of our online operations, also growing at two digits year-over-year. Compared with quarter three 2020, which had a very high baseline for comparison. We continue to be very focused on delivering our growth levers according to what was announced in our IPO. We had yet one more quarter of very relevant investments. As I'm sure that you already know, the greatest highlight of this quarter was the launch of C&A Pay, which we officially announced this week, and which will start being offered to our clients in the start of December. You're going to hear more details from Brossi later on. Our transformation into C&A Fashion Tech continues in the different fronts. First, I want to highlight a few other dimensions that sometimes are not very visible in our levers, but also have very high relevance in our everyday operations and management. The first level, for example, we are starting a program for the training of developers. This is our first joint program developed with Gamma Academy, and the program is called Fashion Devs. This program is now being completed and is going to launch, it's going to put new professionals in the market, both to work for CNA and also for other companies. Some of them are already a part of our team. In ESG, we are also seeing a lot of evolution, and we have some highlights this quarter. First, in the product dimension, we had the launch of more sustainable collections, such as the Ciclos Disney collection, a capsule collection with cradle-to-cradle level gold certification. Also, the Mindset Sport collection produced with biodegradable polyamide, which degrades in less than 3 years. And finally, the Jeans Week, focusing on four attributes. First, items made with more sustainable cotton, the Better Cotton Initiative, the use of less water in the washing process, more sustainable dyeing, and for the first time, a circular denim made of remainders of a past production and past jeans items collected from the Reciclo movement in our stores. So we are walking the talk, and we are showing this to our clients. Still on the topic of circularity, we made a partnership between CNA and Grandini and a pilot project for collection of sandals post-use in 30 CNA stores to be sent for recycling. In the social arena, we resumed our volunteer program with social actions in 60 communities in which we operate, and we launched the Muito Mais On project. Here, employees from our central office will give workshops about different topics to small fashion entrepreneurs. And still on the topic of entrepreneurship, we are associating the activities of Institute CNA with our business. And highlight must be given to the launch of the AfroLab Moda by Instituto CNA in partnership with Preta Hub, aiming at accelerating 21 fashion businesses led by Black women entrepreneurs and indigenous entrepreneurs. In the governance arena, for the first time, we filled out the questionnaire for the Carbon Disclosure Project about the management of green gas emissions in our business. So these are some of the initiatives that show how we are advancing and strengthening our ESG platform. Now, on the next slide, we talk about the deliveries of our growth plan. Slide number 3. Let me start with the first dimension of the four dimensions, which is the store expansion and new formats. In quarter 3, we opened 4 new stores, all of them already under our omni-channel, click and collect, ship from store, infinity aisle, all of our concepts already implemented in these stores, including WhatsApp sales. So we closed the quarter with a total of 308 stores, totally in line with our target to open 25 stores throughout the year 2021. We also conducted a pilot with a new format where we created a specific space and we identified the entry of the store. It's a concept that's called double door. The entry of the store is identified with our sports brand Ace. The pilot had very promising results, and our clients were able to better identify the products, and this increased the average ticket of our clients for sports products. The next step of this journey, we are now identifying all the potential locations that could receive this new initiative. And based on that, we will build a business plan and we will expand this pilot project. On slide number 4, we talk about the digital transformation lever. As I already mentioned, despite the very strong comparison base in quarter three 2020 and the impact of the reopening of our stores, we still see very strong growth in our digital channel. Our GMV was 253 million, an 18% increase. Now, in respect to our new digital channels, WhatsApp sales has been the great highlight here. We've been continuously improving this initiative. Today, we have more than 900 employees dedicated in our stores and more than 100 contacts per day per employee. This is leading to ever-growing growth in our conversion rates and average ticket. This is being done through the adoption of new tools that allow WhatsApp sales to account for more than 45% of our online sales this quarter. Minha C&A, another direct sale category in the end of this quarter, already had 13,000 consultants registered, of which approximately 3,000 had already completed their at least one sale. In our marketplace, Galeria C&A, we closed the quarter with 471 sellers. The current focus is not just to increase the number of sellers, but rather to strengthen the relationship with these sellers, promoting their sales with the best assortment management and elaborated campaign. We're also working on the complementariness of the assortment offered in our store and by our sellers to offer a more robust and complete experience to our clients in the most segments possible. Our relationship program, C&A e Você, reached the mark of 18.2 million clients registered and account for 77% of our sales. This customer base, considering the last 12 months, increased by 36%. And the multi-channel customers with an average ticket, which is twice as high as the average, grew by 57%. As for our application, the digital marketing environment continues to be very competitive, which ends up impacting our prices and costs of all our installation incentive efforts. But we truly believe in the relevance and importance of our app for our future positioning. So we will continue to invest in our app and looking for alternatives to approach our clients digitally. And finally, regarding the transformation into a C&A fashion tech mindset, we are promoting a culture that is more and more focused on data-driven, promoting what we call observability. And what do I mean with observability? Observability is monitoring based on data from countless indicators of operating performance and business performance. We also continue to invest in our technology team, supported by HR. Our tech team has been the agents of this transformation. We currently rely on 711 professionals with technical profiles related with security, data science, architecture, and agile. In the supply lever, as you see on slide number five, this was one more quarter of advances and recognition. The good execution of these projects is being recognized by the partners that we selected throughout this journey, such as the implementation of WMS by Manhattan, which became a global success case, and we were awarded for the implementation project for the RFID identification technology that we implemented. We received an award from RFID Journal. And I'm going to break down my comments into two pillars: the distribution to our stores and delivery to our clients. First, in terms of distribution to our stores, in quarter three, we started the operation of the push-pull distribution model in the distribution center of São Paulo. Following the Agile methodology, we started a pilot for a few categories that will be seeing some expansion in the coming quarters. In order to reach this stage, we are working in different fronts. First, we started using the sorter in 2019 for SKU-based distribution, no longer a package-based distribution. We currently have 3 operating sorters that have the capacity to cover double our current assortment. To cover our folded assortment, which means everything that is displayed on tables. We are now at the implementation stage of the new WMS, a management system for a distribution center. And we started this quarter to implement a tool that will orchestrate the new push-pull operating model of our stores, the SIA. And once again, here we are using a recognized partner for the execution of projects, using analytics and strongly using data, tested processes, and proven processes with very clear governance actions. In the pilot that we started this quarter, all the development stages are on time, according to the schedule, and the implementation of 100% of the eligible categories for the push-pull model will be completed in the second half of 2022. This means that we are advancing at a fantastic pace and that our partners have been recognizing all these advancements, not just the speed, but also the quality of our implementation. I must also highlight that something very important for the optimization of our results is that we continue to implement the RFID identification technology. We had a pilot in quarter four last year, and from then on, we started implementing the project in a matrix-based fashion, which means that we are preparing the stores to receive this labeled assortment, and we're including suppliers in this labeling process to label all the assortment provided. When we closed quarter three, we had 185 stores, so more than 50% of our stores, with the right infrastructure and 130 suppliers labeling products at their origin. We expect to complete this project in the first half of 2022. In the pillar delivery to customers, the main highlight this quarter was the evolution of the implementation of automation, or what we call the OSR shuttle, in our distribution center for our e-commerce platform, located in São Paulo. With the deliverables of the project on time, according to the schedule, the system will be started up at the start of November, and we will be prepared for the Black Friday event. So for Black Friday this year, we will already have this secret weapon operating, which will provide us with much more speed. This automation allows for an average time for an order to be ready, an average time of 5 minutes for an order to be ready, which will allow our deliveries in D+1 and on the same day delivery for the nearby cities. The system is already integrated to the new WMS system, which will ensure an assertive management of tests and stocks. And once the process is totally automated, our expectation to reduce stockouts and preparation errors will be very drastic, more than 80% reduction. And finally, in this pillar, our transportation matrix is always being monitored. We are at a stable level, and our average delivery time considers the entire country and all our routes. And our average time today is about 3 days, between the time when we receive the order and when we deliver the products to the client, considering the size of the Brazilian territory. And before I go into our credit lever, the fourth lever, I'd like to share with you the conclusion of our negotiations with Bradesco. After a very intense negotiation agenda, on slide 6, you see what our relationship with Bradesco will look like looking forward. The completion of this negotiation was that we're going to buy back the right to offer financial services and products. In other words, we'll have access to the bank operations, and for that, we paid 415 million reals, which are going to be paid in January 2023, corrected at 112.5% of the CDI, starting January 2022. We will have a two-year transition during which the operations will coexist. And by that, I mean that we will continue having the Ceia Bradesco card, and the card will continue to be offered to our clients. And the cards will still be valid to be used in our stores for two more years. We will also launch in December the system called Ceia Pay. And for the legacy customer base, we will maintain the current rules of the agreement that we have had so far with Bradesco. After we finished negotiations, we established that Ceia Pay will be launched in December 2021. And this was only possible because we have been working with a dedicated team in our company for a few months now, developing not just the product, but also the communications, the structuration, and the entire ecosystem of partners and all the technology infrastructure. And you're going to hear more details from Brossi shortly. So in sum, this has been a very positive quarter for the company, considering how much we advanced in all our levers. Our four levers are moving at a very intense speed right now: expansion, digital, supply, and credit. Now I hand it over to Brossi. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paulo. On slide number 7, we finally announced the launch of Ceia Pay, our digital credit system, which will focus on improving the customer journey with C&A. With this launch, we will be addressing an ambition that we had, which was to improve our credit offer to clients, to promote retail sales, and to improve the customer experience with our brand, improving access and complementing the benefits of our loyalty program, Ceia e Você. Ceia Pay was born with a 100% digital proposition, in line with C&A Fashion Tech, which is under construction. The C&A Pay process will be fast. In less than 5 minutes, customers will be able to contract their credit thanks to the technologies that we have embedded in the optimization of client registration and also market benchmarks with all the digital banks that we have in Brazil and abroad. C&A Pay will also offer benefits that are well known in the market, such as exemption of annuity and discounts for the first purchase. The use journey is 100% digital. It is a virtual card, and the purchase in our stores will be done through the taxpayer ID and a password that is registered in the app itself. And online, the customer can buy using the card number and a security number that will be generated at the time of the transaction. So it's a totally secure transaction. Another highlight is that C&A Pay will start fully integrated with our loyalty program, C&A Você. And as soon as they subscribe, they will automatically subscribe to our loyalty program as well. And in their first year, they already start at our AMA category with different benefits, such as exclusive line, fitting room benefits, gift box, and others. And finally, Ceia Pay will be very competitive in the offer of payments installments, allowing our customers to consume fashion and express themselves. On slide number 8, I share a little bit about the ecosystem that we had to get. We all start with the team that under my supervision will conduct this business. Everybody's already hired, and they are adding a combination of experience in financial product implementation, credit product implementation, experience from other retailers and financial institutions, as well as CNA executives coming from the EB Bank. Additionally, we already contracted with partners that will support the business. And we are now developing our private label product to be launched now in December 2021. And these partners will continue with us for future developments. In addition to the team itself, we also hired and we also contracted different partners, highly qualified partners that will support us in product conception and definition of the business case. And they will participate in the evolution of the business, the launch, and the next steps. On slide number 9, we show the design of our integrated and governance, integrated management and governance scheme. As you heard, we hired people and partners with expertise in credit granting, credit operations, with experience in retail operations, including in fashion. We developed policies and processes for the core activities of the business to mitigate and control the operation, bringing better insights and establishing a credit risk committee to direct and validate the policies and practices coming from this business. The committee will be made up of external members and members from our administration board, very experienced in this topic, such as, for example, Peter Furukawa. On slide number 10, next slide, please. On slide 10, I bring you some additional comments about this new business with CNA Pay. The first important driver is that we are planning to reach a level of private credit in our sales, which is about 40% according to what's presented in our industry. And for that, we have two scenarios. The first scenario is a little bit more conservative. And in this scenario, we will only use the store traffic to reach that level, and it will take us about 5 years for that. However, considering the attributes of CIA Pay, we are very confident that we will also have better attractiveness in our digital journey as well. So the ramp up will be faster, and we will reach that level in about 3 years. Regarding the approval rate, we are expecting double the approval rate that we have had so far with our current partner. And one important highlight is the advantage that we have due to our relationship program. As I said, the program CIA Você was launched about 5 years ago. We have more than 18 million subscribers. And we conducted a backtest, an evaluation of this customer base together with our partner credit bureaus. And more than half of the subscribers is pre-approved for CNA Pay. So in December, we will already start contacting this customer base. As for the performance of the business, we will be working with a margin similar to that of other players. And finally, as expected for new credit operations, this will require a few customers to maturate, and CNA Pay should achieve its break-even point in its second year of operation. So this is what I wanted to share with you about CNA Pay, and now I hand it over to Milton. He's going to talk about the financial results. Good morning, everyone. Before we go into the results themselves, I'd like to talk about the announcement that we made this morning about the opening of a buyback program, share buyback program. We understand that external variables, particularly those related with the pandemic and the macroeconomy right now, have impacted the variable income market, and particularly some industries, including our industry of fashion apparel. We know that we have a brief history as a publicly traded company. We have relatively low liquidity. And right now, we are going through a transformation, as you heard from Paulo, very intense investment, both CapEx and OpEx.
Of course, these investments will bring results in the future, very positive results in the future. However, we strongly disagree with how the market is pricing our shares. So with the support and supervision of our controller shareholder, we will open this share buyback program to understand how we can have efficient allocation of this capital. As you know, we have a very ambitious investment plan, including this buyback of the right to offer credit products. Our intent is not to compete with the investment plan or impact the resources that we reserve for this plan, but we cannot ignore the opportunity that we have in terms of the price of our shares. It is a program for 5.3 million shares with an execution term of up to 18 months. So now let's go into the quarter results. Let's start with the net revenue on slide 11. In quarter three, the total net revenue was 1.3 billion, up 25.5% year over year. The net revenue for goods was nearly 23% higher year over year, whereas the same store sales was 21% higher. It's also worth noting the behavior of the two categories that form this revenue for goods, because the behavior was very diverse. The apparel revenue increased by 32%, and July was a very strong month because of the winter collection, which positively impacted the quarter. And if we look at the same store sales, the growth was 30%, which makes us very excited about the performance for apparel in quarter three, and which points to an even stronger quarter in quarter four. Now, in respect to the fashiontronics category, there was a 12.4% decrease. This is something that we are seeing in past quarters, this decrease, and this is due to the high competitiveness of the environment, also supply problems that have been recurring. This is one of the root causes. And most importantly, the assortment is now more applicable to our clients. So we're very confident that we have better prospects for the future. But right now, we are still going through difficulties with fashiontronics. On slide number 12, here we have our net income and margin. The margin for goods was 1.1 percentage point higher year over year. And when we break it down by category, we see the same performance for apparel, which was 49.3%, a 1.1 percentage point increase. And this is due to a less promotional environment when compared with the same period last year. In quarter three 2020, we had a lot of promotions. Now, in fashiontronics, the margin was 16.9%. Here we had a relevant decrease of 8.1 percentage point, mainly due to the more competitive environment and the higher cost pressure of the equipment. Now, moving to our operating expenses on slide 13. They were 501 million, a 38% increase year over year. Sales expenses were 409 million, also up by 34%. And this quarter, we had practically normal operations. Nearly all our stores were open and working full hours, and with all the omnichannel initiatives. Consequently, we had an increase in two expense lines: cost of occupancy compared with the previous quarters. We know that now we no longer have the discounts in rental values, and there was also the contractual readjustments reflecting the inflation rate. And in personnel, due to the resumption of our normal operations, resulting in an increase of 1.8 thousand people in our stores compared with the last quarter, quarter two, 2021. And this includes the four new stores that were inaugurated this quarter. And
Also, in 2021, we could not rely on the benefits that came from the provisional measures that the government passed last year during the pandemic. General and administrative expenses were up by 17%, adding up to 105 million. And this was due to the reinforcement of our teams and third parties to meet the demands of the e-commerce platform. Before I go to the next slide, I want to tell you that we have a growth plan that is now under execution, totally in line with what was presented in our IPO. Our expenses will suffer a higher pressure in the short term due to our cycle of investments. We are now coming out of an inertia phase, particularly in terms of the opening of new stores. And when we look at our expenses by segment, when we look at our stores, comparable stores, for example, if we stop in 2019, which was the last period in which we can make this comparison with the normal level, if we add the expenses of the new stores, the new openings, which were about 25%, 10 in 2020, plus the 25 until the end of 2021, we see that comparable expenses are growing differently from the inflation rate. So if we look at the cash, the balance, and the expenses of the company, I'm very confident about what we have been doing and what these expenses represent. These expenses are just a preparation for the company to follow the growth levels that we are expecting. Of course, there's an initial ramp up, and I'm very confident that we are on the right track. On slide 14, here we see our adjusted EBITDA when we exclude non-recurring effects and the impact of IFRS 16 and others. In quarter three, this was a negative 13.4 million with a negative adjusted EBITDA margin of 1%. Year to date, the EBITDA is negative 146 million. On slide 15, in quarter three, due to a non-recurring impact on our tax income and social contribution amounting to nearly 298 million, CNA had a net income of 243.8 million in the quarter with an 18.2% margin. This non-recurring effect refers to fiscal credits related to the non-incidence of tax income and social contribution on the correction of the standard interest rate and the indebtedness repetition processes that were judged by the Supreme Court based on CPC 32 and ICP 22. So the recommendation was to recognize this now, immediately. So we already see this happening in other companies in the market. If we exclude this effect, we would have had a loss of 54.2 million in the quarter. Now on slide 16, here we show our investments. Our investments amounted to 123 million, a very relevant amount, up 176% year over year, in line with our plan. The lever with the highest investments this quarter was supply, as you heard from Paulo about the deliverables in November, particularly for online. So we're very happy with the return that we will get from these investments. And we will continue to strongly invest in new projects. We have the funding for that, and the execution is flawless. So I am pretty sure that we will capture these results soon enough. I stop now, and now I think we can open for questions. The floor is now open for questions. We will take questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch phone. If at any time your question is answered, you may press star 2 to remove yourself from the queue. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. We kindly ask that you pick up your handset when asking your question to provide optimum sound quality. If your question is not selected during the call, it will be answered later after the conference call by the IR team of the company. Please wait while we poll for your questions. The first question in English is from Andrew Ruben, Morgan Stanley.
Hi, thanks very much for the question. I had two follow-ups on CNA Pay. First, can you talk about what you think in terms of the uplift to your retail sales as you increase the penetration of own credit? And then second, just to clarify on the Bradesco customers, what happens at the end of the two-year transition? Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew, for your question. So I'll start with the second part of your question. So as we mentioned, it's a two-year transition period, and at the end of 2 years, both Bradesco and CNA will be entitled to offer to these customers the migration to a new product. So the customer base will be active for 2 years, and after these 2 years, both parties will be entitled to approach these customers and offering them a new product. And in respect to the first part of your question, what we see right now is that our penetration is about 20%. The penetration rate of our competitors varies between 40% and 45%, so we still have some catch-up to do, about 20 percentage points of catch-up. And based on what we saw from our pilots, about half of this amount would be an upside to be captured. However, the market is changing greatly. New products are being launched, so we will have to see more to be able to answer that more precisely, numerically speaking, but that's what we expect.
Very helpful. Thank you.
The next question is from Daniela Eiger, XP Investimentos. Mrs. Daniela, you may proceed.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. The first one is about the margin dynamics. You mentioned that we should expect a higher pressure on the margin due to the investments that you're making. So can you give us the magnitude, what this means, and if this is more likely related to the dynamics of your operational expenses? So how do you expect your gross margin to evolve looking forward, especially for apparel, but also for Fashiontronics? And my second question is about Fashiontronics. What do you expect to see looking forward for this category? And even regarding the relevance of this category in your operations, does it still make sense? Or maybe beauty, that's having a very good performance, could be the new focus. So can you please give us more color about what you plan to do with Fashiontronics?
All right, Daniela, thank you for your question. So let's start with the gross margin. We always separate apparel from Fashiontronics. We have quarter four coming, and quarter four is very important to make up the margin for the year, and I prefer to talk about annual margins. Here we're talking about fraction margins. So we believe that we will reach a margin level for apparel similar to what we had in 2019. For Fashiontronics, we are seeing a lot of pressure, as I told you, but we see this as a seasonal effect, particularly for our clients. We will not see a resolution in the very short term, but we will see a resolution in the future. We're still closing our planning for 2022, and we are working on a 2020 with a 2022 similar to 2020 for Fashiontronics. In respect to the net margin, the EBITDA margin, as you mentioned, yes, we are going through a moment of higher expenses,
But it's very important to establish the comparison base here. The CNA in 2019 is not comparable with 2020, 2021, or 2022. We were not a publicly traded company. We were a private company with a very conservative profile, much more conservative than what we are implementing right now in the company in terms of governance. It's not that now we are not conservative, but we have to have this trend towards expansion that we didn't have in the past. As I said, we have to consider this ramp up. This ramp up does bring some imbalance between the returns, investments, and the returns. And in the past, this was what always caused us to have more modest investments. And what we did now was to break this inertia. So in 2022, we should still be seeing this high pressure on our margin. But looking forward, I think this is the foundation so that we can see this company with a very promising long-term vision. These four levers, if our four levers, and the last one was credit, are working at full speed, advancing at full speed, only then can we be compared and comparable and generate the returns that we expect for these investments. Thank you. Very clear. The next question is from João Soares, Citibank. Good morning. Thank you for answering my question. Paulo, can you tell us about your expectations for the Black Friday event? I want to understand. Today, can you already use the logistic capabilities that you implemented throughout the years for your online sales? Are they 100% operational for the Black Friday event? And within this new context, how do you see the outlook in terms of demand? We know that the average ticket will be higher. So what can we expect? What is the consumption trend for this Black Friday event? Hello, João. Thank you for your question. Well, online commerce is a journey. And you gradually build it by improving assortment, services, your delivery capacity, and the quality of your delivery. So that's something that you build. You build this recurrence, and you get better and better in terms of acquisition of new customers and subscription of new customers. So this machine doesn't really depend on the macro scenario. What the macro scenario has been showing us recently is that for any event, all the events that we have are much more intense than the between events period. So our expectation for the Black Friday event is very strong. We believe that this year we'll have a strong Black Friday, particularly because we have very high supply, a very high demand for promotions now because of the inflation rate. So everybody will be paying close attention to the Black Friday prices. And we have built a very robust strategy for the entire month of November. Of course, we cannot ignore the impact of the macroeconomic crisis. But thinking about retail and e-commerce and a Black Friday event, I truly believe that this event will be very relevant and strong for retail as a whole. Thank you. The next question is from Eric Huang, Santander. Good morning, and thank you. I have two questions. One is about 2022. And what you expect from the macroeconomic perspective, if you expect a more challenging environment. So I want to understand what is your expectation in terms of resumption of your sales in the coming year. And the second question is about online.
and also related with Fashiontronics. Thinking about your marketplace, Galeria. Okay, we understand that Fashiontronics has some items that are relevant for you, but do you think that maybe one category, a specific category, could be more focused on the Galeria, on your marketplace? What would be the internal management for that? Thank you, Eric, for this question. In 2022, we know that it is very, very difficult to make assertive forecasts for 2022, but we're working with a base scenario, which is a scenario with low economic growth, nationally speaking, very low economic growth for the country, a significant inflation rate, and the standard interest rate at higher levels as we have today. Well, of course, this means pressure for retailers, pressure for consumption, and more difficulty for our customers to be able to buy as much and have the same energy to buy as much as they would like. On the other hand, if we look at CNA specifically, there are some other players here. First, we have the strengthening of the company as a whole, whether through our channels or improving assortment or through our collections and products that we are developing. I think that we are stronger now than we were in 2019, and we will start 2022 even stronger as retailers than we were in 2019. We have more stores. We have better products. We provide a better experience with more channels and more assortment. So I'm very optimistic in this sense, looking at us as a retail company. And the second is the credit dimension, as you heard from Boss Grossi. At this very difficult time, a time when the population is struggling, we will be offering this new product. And I think this new product will strongly connect with the needs, not just the needs, but the profile of our customers. So we have two sides to this coin, right? The macroeconomic scenario will not help. It will be very harsh. But on the other hand, we did all the homework that we had to do. And as a company, we're much better than we were in 2019. And what you said about the online and how we can use the three T's as a category strategy instead of having to just manage stocks and working capital. Yes, we are looking at that. And all the categories that we're bringing to the 3P strategy, not only do they complement our assortment, but they can even replace this assortment if the time comes for that. So is there any plan to replace the category for 3P? No, that's not our intent right now. And I'll go back to Daniela's question. I think that we have, well, in addition to all these dimensions that we talked about, we have a very difficult scenario due to the industry itself, the history of the story of processors. So this is a problem that's being faced by the world, which is creating a lot of pressure in this industry. Also, the exchange rate, the very expensive dollar, this will also cause an increase in prices. But on the other hand, we'll have more credit. And these are products that have a higher ticket. And higher ticket products are clearly more sensitive to credit offer. That's why I said there are two sides to this coin. And finally, just to finish answering Daniela's question, I'm sorry if I hope I answered your questions, Eric, but Dani talked about beauty. And beauty is indeed a category that is growing and could compensate for some of these margin challenges that we're seeing in Fashiontronics looking forward. And the set in quarter 2, 2022, if everything goes well, that's when we expect to have the 5G being implemented here in Brazil. And we who have gone through the 3G and 4G implementation in Brazil, we know that this is a game changer, at least for some years,
in terms of demand, because everybody will want to upgrade their mobile phones. So if this truly takes place in some, at least in some capitals in the second quarter of 2022, this could already bring a different dynamics to this category. Thank you. Very clear. Thank you. The next question is from João Paulo Andrade, Bradesco BBI. Good morning. I want to talk more about the benefits of push and pull. We know that you have different benefits that you talked about, but can you give us more color of the benefits that you are expecting? And if possible, can you have a lot of moving parts that are bringing more sales and more leverage to the company. So how can we see this structure in terms of a better balancing of your leverage margin and investments? Thank you for your question. So let me start with the question about the push-pull model. This is a journey. You see that many of the players here, it took them 3 to 5 years for this journey. Many of them faced great difficulties. I think we're doing this pretty fast with a lot of assertiveness in everything that we do. We were even awarded for that. But in the end of the day, this is the dynamics that allows us to be very assertive in the distribution of products. In the case of push-pull, the products that we call table products that account for an important share of our revenue. And this assertiveness moves to a different level, meaning more sales with the right product in the right place, you sell more and more margin. Because having the wrong product in the wrong place will generate markdowns and promotions, the need for promotions, right? So we will start capturing this in 2022, perhaps in the second half of 2022. And in 2023, we should start seeing a robust benefit of this margin dimension due to these initiatives related with supply. On the other hand, these initiatives related with automation provide us with better delivery speed and a better service level, a more reliable service, which brings us more clients and more recurrence to our channels, both online and offline. The second part of your question was about leverage. Well, regarding the leverage, we have a consolidated capital structure, very solid. We have strong governance on top of that. And our balance sheet accommodates a level of leverage that supports the investment plan for 2021 and for 2022 as well. So very diligently, we're looking at this. We have a minimum cash policy that will be followed strictly. And whatever we need to do in order to continue to expand, we will do. I don't see any risk whatsoever. We are totally compliant with the covenants that we contracted. So I don't see any risk of us going off our initial planning, even if we consider this very fortunate new obligation with the payment of the in January 2023, the 415 million with Bradesco. We're very confident about our capacity. And there's one point that we don't really talk about it, which is the relevant credit that we have regarding PIS and COFINS. We have more than 1 billion in credits that we're going to realize in the next 4 or 5 years.
So with this, there's no disbursement for federal taxes, and this is yet another funding generator for these investments. We don't talk much about that, but it's an important point. Thank you. This question and answer session is now closed. Now I'd like to hand it back to Mr. Paulo Correa for his final remarks. Thank you all for participating in this call today. I truly think that we're going through a very special moment. We are seeing a lot of our plans that were only on paper 2 years ago starting to materialize. And as I said before, we have a much stronger CNA. We're coming out of this pandemic much stronger. And this is something that will be reflected on our results in the coming years. Thank you very much. Have a great day. This conference call is now over. Thank you all for participating and have a great day.